Okay, would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts your transforming, renewing word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Knowing the good and the bad. Knowing the good and the bad. If you were going to buy a home, wouldn't you want to have an accurate appraisal of the property? An expert estimate of what you are getting yourself into. Yes, you love the beautiful pool and the deck that extends from the recently remodeled kitchen. And the family room is fantastic. But wouldn't you also want to know before buying this house that the entire second floor needs rewiring and that the septic system has been failing for the last 2 years? We have a vested interest. God proclaimed, God stated vested interest in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ to make things work, to build one another up. Paul has been laying the foundation. All through the teaching of Romans, Paul has been laying this foundation on which we are to build. Today he wants to tell us about the goodness of the house that God is building through us. He wants to tell us about the lush 2-acre lawn, the fantastic family room, amazing kitchen, and the beautiful pool. But he also wants us to know what we're getting into. So he will tell us that the entire second floor does need rewiring, and that sometimes when you flush the toilet, the result isn't so great. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 14? Romans chapter 15, verse 14. I'm going to read our entire text for today, Romans 15, 14 through 21. It's all very woven together. I think the frog's around today. Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, that by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Three main things today. As a fellowship, we should speak to the goodness which Christ has accomplished in our lives. We should speak to the goodness which Christ has accomplished in our lives. As a fellowship, we must commit ourselves to the sacred priestly work of remembering and boldly reminding. What we need is a balance. What we too often focus on is someone, and that person is so good and they're so wonderful, and this person over here, this other brother or sister in Christ, they're just so awful. Now, in fact, we may be, I was wondering this week if Henry Wadsworth Longfellow didn't have his poem inspired by the saints of God. And you're familiar with it, so if you want to join right along in the first verse of this poem. There was a little girl. You guys know where I'm going with this? And she had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. Come on, help me out. When she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was... Do you think he went to church? Wanted to bring a little likeness into that. But there's a very important biblical concept that we have. See, and it's not correct grammar, and I know that, but we started dead. So I want you to picture that in your mind. We start, if you could look on your handout, turn to the skeleton. Turn to the skeleton, the dark there. Because see, Paul said, you are full of goodness. And you know what? This, I anticipated this text because I can say to you, to Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, you are full of goodness. I can say that with complete sincerity. But everything's not so great. And I can say that with complete sincerity. And you know what? That's okay. Now, we never use, because people say, oh, well, I'm not perfect. And sometimes we hear, and I've told you before, that you visit a church and they'll say this and that and say, oh, but we're not perfect. And you want to say, well, you know what? I already know that. So we don't use this ever, ever as an excuse. But we deal with the reality. We start from dead. What we are going to be end up is something of such power and beauty that it's beyond measure of our comprehension. But in between, sometimes it's a real mess. And here's the rub. We give up on each other too easily. We give up on each other too easily. Somebody hurts our feelings or says the wrong things. Now, hurting our feelings, somebody saying the wrong thing, someone being rude, is that okay? No, it's not. It's sin and it should be confessed. Is it going to happen? Yes, it is. Do you give up on that person? No. Carrie and I have been married 43 years. I don't think I'm getting into that too much now. Some of you have been married even longer. It's like we've said before, she's put up with a lot and I've put up with a lot. Is it worth it? Oh man, the beauty that I have right over there, that relationship with that we have. Are there still things that, like I say, I'm not going to get into details. I'm smarter than I look. You know what I'm saying, though. You've been there, done that. See, sometimes we're so invested, and I know that some of you probably don't want to hear this. But when you start paying me for what you want to hear versus paying me for what God wants me to tell you, then you let me know and we'll work something out, okay? There's far more scripture, far more instruction of God dealing with our vested interest as brothers and sisters in Christ than there is with our human families. So just take a measure of the commitment to your brother or your sister. I'm speaking not the Christian family, but your human family, the blood family, not the blood of Jesus family. That's a different. Or your children or your grandchildren. Just take a measure of that vested interest, if you want a starting place, on how we should deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where we're going with this. This is what we need. Because God, there's a mandate to us, a commission to us to build each other up. To build each other up. If you are expecting anyone, including me, to never disappoint you, I don't know where you've been all your life, because that doesn't happen. See, we have a hard time, and we're not talking about being a fake or a liar or a hypocrite or a flatterer. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about letting God give us the ability to see that person and see the wonderful goodness in them. And I see it in Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. Boy, do I ever see it. And am I ever thrilled to be a part of it. But it's not all good, is it? We'll let him get by. What we want to allow God to do is to give us the freedom, to give us this biblical perspective. Again, we never excuse the wrong behavior. We're not excusing that. That's a call for confession of sin. But we don't give up. God tells us we build. We can't build with unrealistic expectation. Carrie and I, when we bought our home in Traverse City, Michigan, you know what we discovered? The septic system was shot. Did we go, oh my goodness, $6,000, $7,000 for a septic system? No, we didn't. You know why? Some of you know because you're smarter than you look too. Because we knew that beforehand. We knew that when we got that home. It was a great home in a really good neighborhood. But we knew beforehand. So we knew all the goodness and all these things. And my goodness, 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms and this really neat neighborhood up on a hill outside. All that goodness, we knew that. And we knew the badness. And the big badness was if you walked out in the backyard, it went, yeah. Did I hear an ooh? Thanks, huh? That's what I mean. We go ahead knowing that. God tells us. But we have to remember where we started from. So back again, just look on there. It says, how many are righteous? None. How many are good? None. Now wait a minute, Dave. None are good? I thought you just said we're full of goodness. Ah. This is where we wanted to get to. See, there's a difference in the goodness. Our goodness, nope, God says, nope, doesn't cut it. Thank you, Lee Joseph. But you see on down through here when Paul says, where does he say it? In verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. And he says, for I will not venture to speak of anything except for what Christ has accomplished through me. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. We're not talking about a secular humanist philosophy of life and talking about the goodness of mankind. And we do see some really good goodness in humanitarian efforts. And that is a reflection that we are all created in God's glory, but what we haven't taken into consideration is the depravity of humankind. And see, that's what's working in us. We are born into this world. If you look on that sheet, the first one, it says, therefore, back to the skeleton, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So yes, God created us in his image, but that image has been tainted. So that's why we get this mixed bag. That's why people can be so wonderful and they can be so awful that you read the news or hear the news and it just makes us shudder, bring us to tears. Well, we are still on this earth. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, now God is working his goodness in us. Now God is working his goodness in us. And Paul says, that's what I'll brag about. That's what I will be proud about. And that's what we draw attention to. It's also then a warning point in our lives. Are we moving forward in the goodness that God is accomplishing in our lives? And that would be the things that he's changing in our lives, the being renewed by the transforming of our minds and hearts. And then it would be the goodness, the righteous acts that we're carrying out. So is that our focus, or is it our focus on our own goodness? And are we performing goodness as directed by God? Because that goodness, folks, is the one that draws the line here on forgiveness. It draws the line on that person, I can never forgive them. Here's where I draw that line. They crossed that line. See, that is that goodness. the goodness that God is working in us, that God speaks to us about, when you would think of forgiveness, you would think of forgiveness like Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ, what? Has forgiven us. As Christ, has God overlooked a thing or two in your life? Now I say overlooked, technically that's not right. He's forgiven, the washed by the blood of the Lamb. But you know what I'm saying. So whenever someone has sinned more against you than you've sinned against God, now this is a silly statement, but let me kind of make a point with it. Whenever someone sinned more against you than you've sinned against God, then I guess it's okay to not forgive them. But you see what I'm saying, the point I'm making. Hopefully that made sense to you. That out of our goodness, out of our philosophy, our approach to life, it will fall far short. So when we see ourselves doing that, what we see is that we are moving along on our own goodness. This is why it says back in that Romans 3 text that none is righteous. But are there any righteous now? Yes. If you've believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and received his gift of eternal life, now it's not that righteousness that was our own righteousness. We hold that righteousness up to God, and God says, nope, no matter how hard you try, nope, not acceptable. When we come and we believe, and like it with Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. We're given that example in Romans 4. We have now, as believers in Christ, the righteousness that we would hold up before God is the righteousness that has been put to our account because of the saving act of Jesus Christ in our lives. The goodness we covered, the and then just on and on in the notes there, we'll kind of drop that. I can throw that over the railing now, not worry about it. I don't think I'll use it anymore right now. But we started. And again, I know it's not good grammar. I did it to make a point. We started from dead. Jesus saved you. If you've trusted in him and received his gift of life, Jesus saved you from dead. You weren't that close to the good line and you just needed a little help to get bumped over. You weren't there and you had the scales out and you just about had enough goodness to be acceptable for God, but you just needed God just to throw a few more things on to tip the scale. No. When the Bible speaks to us telling us dead, that's where we begin. I'm really trying to make an effort to stay in Romans, but if I happened to adventure over to Ephesians 2, it would tell us we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Here in Romans 5, that death spread to all people. That includes us. So as a fellowship, we see the goodness of this other person. And, you know, and sometimes we hold the goodness back because we think, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Or we hold the goodness back because, I mean, sincerely, we don't. Well, if I commend them for that, I know this is over here is just way out of whack. So they're going to think I'm excusing them for that. Sometimes that's the approach we get. But sometimes, probably a little worse. I don't know if one could be worse than the other. One could probably be more petty than the other, which might be the case here, that we've got a rivalry. We've got a competition going. Well, if I commend my sister for this good thing that she's done or for this goodness I see in her life, she's my rival because honestly, I'd like for people to think of me as more spiritual than them. I can't be building her up. But didn't we look in Romans 12 that when our enemy's down, we put our foot on their throat? It's like, no, you nourish them. Well, this brother, this sister in Christ, they're not our enemy. Now, we may sometimes take that adversarial approach to each other, which, of course, is sin too. Whatever reason, we need to let this to build up this vested interest. When we stand before God in eternity, and he'll say, you got it. He said, you understood. You laid aside petty differences. You laid aside your myopic view of life. We had one time in Wyoming, one of the guys that came, we'd have different people. We had the youth with another couple. and we'd have different people speak. And we had a guy, he'd been a pastor, had him come, and he took, with the kids, and as an illustration, he took a toilet paper roll. And he took that toilet paper roll, and he walked over to the wall. I'll just do that. I can still walk some. Took that toilet paper over to the wall, and he put it right up against the wall. He said, "Now, how much of this world do you think I'm seeing?" Not very much, was it? A little spot, whatever the diameter is of a toilet paper roll on the wall. That's what he could see. Well, that's what we do when we get caught up in some of these things, when we're not listening to God. What does it tell us? Let me go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Yeah. Verse 13, because we are talking about our freedom. It's freedom that we don't think of usually, but it's this freedom to properly evaluate each other's lives. Because folks, if you're going to build something up, if you're getting a car that needs repairs, what's the most important thing that you do before you start working on that car? Got to understand what really needs fixed, don't you? You could go, if you replace the alternator and it was the starter that was broken. Yeah. So, but this is a freedom that gives us to help evaluate each other's lives so we can pour our efforts, pour our energy into building up that other person. So here in Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now verse 15 is where I was getting to. "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Now, that was added for a reason, wasn't it? That warning in verse 15 was given to us for a reason. Because as we're prone to say here, God is God and people are people. And when we're good, see if you learned anything, when we're good, we are very, very good. And when we're bad, we can sometimes be. And it's never to be used as an excuse. But it's the reality. And we don't give up on each other. You don't give up on your brother. You don't quit on your sister. Look at us, start doing that and see what God does with that. See what God does with that. See, as we look at this, we're going to use Paul's example, and Paul talked about his priestly service of God. And what he had was he had a call, and he had mentioned, he said, because of the grace given me by God. Now, what he was speaking of there was not the general grace that we think of, but he was given a portion of grace to be an apostle, but even more specific than that, to reach out to the Gentiles. To reach out to the Gentiles with the gospel. And then even more specific of that, for a time, and it's actually going to change here in this section as we begin the next part when we come back in 2 weeks, that Paul wanted to go where the gospel had never been shared. But the whole point that I'm getting to is Paul said, God has given me a sacred work. God has put something holy in my hands. That's our example. He does the same thing. He doesn't call us to an apostleship like he did Paul. He doesn't call us in all those exact specifics, but the general things that he does that we need to understand is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a sacred, holy calling. We have a priestly work. Now, it involves other things, but specifically here, it's dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul was talking about here when he said, the second part of verse 16, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable. That the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable. See, he had to make sure that the God, that the gospel he was sharing, and we have to make sure the gospel that we are sharing is the gospel. If it's a gospel that says you start out okay and you just needed a religious vitamin B12 shot, that's not the gospel. If it's a gospel that says you're a pretty good person, you just needed a little bit of religious CPR, that's not the gospel. The gospel is none righteous, none seeking God, none doing good, dead. The gospel is you started at dead. And Paul said, that is how I will maintain the integrity of the gospel. The other gospel may make people angry with us. It will make people angry with us. The other gospel will be hard for us to tell people at times that this is the gospel. If you don't admit, my friend, that you're dead in your trespasses and sins, if you don't admit that you have no other hope than the saving grace of God, then I have nothing to offer you. That will hurt people's feelings. That will alienate them. But it's the only gospel. I'm yelling. Here comes the earplugs. But it's the only gospel that saves. Not my word. Not my word. Not my adaptation. It's the only one that saves. Picture the sweetest person you've never known. The sweetest person you've ever known your whole life. I mean, this is the goodest, the bestest, the sweetest, the kindest. Is it Grandma Mary? Is Grandma Mary coming to you? Is it Uncle Bill? Whoever that might be. This is the gospel they need. Because they're not righteous either. They're not truly seeking God. See, you can go to church every Sunday and you're not be seeking God. You can be trying to build up equity so when you meet God, you can make a deal with him to get through the pearly gates, but that won't cut it. See, there's only one gospel. And Paul said that he will, it's what Jesus Christ accomplishes. We commit ourselves then in this gospel. We keep boldly, this is what Paul said, he boldly reminded. So my approach this week, I thought, well, he boldly reminded, and it's what's here in Romans. And, well, we could have just gone back and just started reviewing everything, but I thought, well, since he began this section full of goodness, maybe we'll go back and we'll focus on where it speaks previously of goodness. Because we could have broadened it out. He said, you are full of goodness. But then when he talked about the bold reminders, he said, but don't remember, I had to talk to you about some stuff. That's where we will grow. Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. That's where we'll grow. The goodness and the badness. We know where the gospel begins and ends. And as a fellowship, we may exalt in the work God is doing in our lives because it's the work of God. Just like Paul did, he said he was proud of what was going on. Pride, not in a wrongful way that we normally think, but he said, I can be proud of that because it's not me. He said, it's Christ working in me. Stephen Fee, contemporary Christian musician, this song came to mind. All because of Jesus, and on the back of your handout, it's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Folks, when we get to, we've been going through matters of conscience, when we get to where we're throwing too many stones at contemporary Christian musicians, let's be careful because there's a lot of really good ones out there and they've got some very powerful lyrics. We need to know where the gospel begins and ends. We were dead and now God is transforming us into his new creation, which will be beyond measure in beauty and awesomeness. So can we have that picture in our mind? Did you like the little toe tag? That's where we started our spiritual journey, dead on arrival. But man, through the blood of Jesus Christ, what God promises. We looked at that last week, didn't we? And does God deliver on his promises? Oh, yeah. Along the way, we care for each other. We build each other up. We hear God. He says, you be vested in your brother in Christ. You be vested in your sister in Christ. Romans 4:17 in New Living Translation says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, speaking of Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. And if you have trusted in Christ, if you have believed the badness and know you were lost in your sin, on your way to hell, yes, hell's real. On your way to the lake of fire, yes, the lake of fire is real. It's not a pleasant message. But what a liar I would be if I shared a different gospel with you. But if you've done that, and if you've received God's gift of eternal life, then he has given you all of these promises included. So he's taken us from dead on arrival to something more beautiful, powerful, indescribable than what we could ever imagine. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And we would just ask, well, we wouldn't ask, I would ask, is there anyone here that's struggling which goodness it is that we're counting on? Which goodness are you counting on? You're not counting on the goodness of church attendance for 10 or 20 or even 50 years, are you? You're not counting on the goodness of how much money you put in that offering plate? Not only the goodness of God. Only the goodness that God could accomplish in your life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Is that what you're counting on? If you would like for me to pray for you, I won't say anything. I won't break a confidence, but if you would like to raise your hand and have me to pray for you, if you're in doubt or if you'd like to visit, give me a holler after church or call me this week that you're in doubt. Sometimes, folks, we've been on this journey for years and years, and we've relied on their own goodness, and man, is it ever hard to turn around, but it's your eternal destiny. It's your eternal destiny. It's your place and position before God. So I would encourage you to let God speak to your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us again today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.